Well, good morning, everyone. On this second Sunday of Easter, it is also the day in which we celebrate and commemorate the finding of the true cross. And this is commemorating that occasion when St. Helen, the mother of St. Constantine, the first Christian Roman emperor, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was given the location in which they were able to then excavate the true cross of Christ. And I think that these themes of the post-resurrection Jesus as the Good Shepherd, which we heard in today's gospel lesson from St. John, the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter, and also the finding of the true cross really go hand in hand. In terms of Jesus opening and Jesus being the gate to paradise. What once was a cruel instrument of execution now becomes a portal, now becomes a life-giving tree, as the church calls it, in the finding of the true cross. And so today, on the second Sunday of Easter, we consider Jesus as the Good Shepherd who is leading us, who is leading his faithful. But this presupposes then that there are bad shepherds, as Jesus was talking about this, as Jesus was conveying this to his disciples. And in fact, we can look back through the Old Covenant and we see these faithless leaders, these self-serving leaders, and of course, much of the Jewish elite, the religious elite of the day of Jesus, were self-serving. They were, as Jesus put it, thieves and robbers who were not leading people to an abundant life, but to destruction, to death. And even within our own time, it is an admonishment to those of us who do lead the faithful of Christ, and understanding the great call to those to be under shepherds, because we know that there have been thieves and robbers. I just recently, this past week, watched the miniseries on Netflix, Waco, about the siege at the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas, who was being led by David Koresh, the cult leader there of the Branch Davidians, which were really a spinoff from the Seventh-day Adventist Church earlier on in the century. But as you consider the life of David Koresh, this was a man who had devoted himself to the work of God. He had purportedly memorized the entire Bible, and by all accounts seemed to be a very insightful biblical teacher. But we see this, the transformation of this man who looked in the end more like a wolf than a sheep, who led his people not to abundant life, but to death. And for those who didn't die, to imprisonment. And even in his final moments, David Koresh was not even willing to face the suffering that he had set before himself and had his life taken with a bullet to the head by one of the other members of the Branch Davidian cult. And we see Jim Jones and all these other false prophets that have manifest themselves really more as wolves than as faithful under-shepherds. But I want us to know, as we have come to the second week following the resurrection, as we continue to celebrate the resurrection, as we celebrate and commemorate the finding of the true cross, I want us to realize the glory of what Christ has called us to. He has led. He is leading his church in the same path that he set for himself. And yes, it was a journey of suffering, of unimaginable suffering and cruelty. It was a journey through hell, through Hades. But it was a journey out the other side to resurrection, to new life, to eternal life. And this is the hope and the glory that we share. Jesus, in his gospel teaching, says, beginning, and I'll really back up in verse 7 of John chapter 10, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." In the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, he has shown himself to truly be the gate, to be the gate to the abundant life, to a life in unity with God the Father and with the Son and through the Holy Spirit, a life of love, of divine exchange of love, a life empowered by the grace and the energies and the gifts of God the Holy Spirit. We rejoice. We rejoice that that portal to paradise has been opened for us. And we follow. We follow our good shepherd. Our good shepherd who is, as St. Peter says, the overseer, the bishop, the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. But if we are to follow Christ, does this mean that we're going to automatically begin to live a life of bliss and paradise in this life? And the answer is very clearly, no. In fact, we can expect that we will be facing the wolves that are all around us. As Jesus took it to hell, we know that that our culture is shot through with hell, with those who have rejected and turned from the grace and glory of God. And through all this is manifest injustice, cruelty, brutality, suffering. There's death all around us. There's darkness all around us. And yet we've been called to be Easter people, but to follow Christ in all things. From the epistle lesson this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2, which Deacon Stephen chanted, I want to remind you of the context for this. St. Peter is really talking about our call to be submissive to our masters, even when they are not good, even when they inflict upon us grief and suffering wrongfully. And he says, in that context, he says, beginning in verse 21, "For to this," that is, to suffer wrongfully, "for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." That is, to take up the cross, to follow him, to be willing to take upon ourselves the chastisement of the world, even in an unjust way. But St. Peter continues, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer or bishop of your souls. This is a wonderful truth. This is a wonderful truth that we celebrate. That even as we have become Easter people, even as we have been joined in Christ's victory and triumph over hell and death, yet in this life we will continue to take up our cross, to follow him into a life of suffering, that it may bring about our redemption and the redemption of the world. We should not ever turn away. We should not ever think that suffering is simply for coming about as a result of judgment. And of course, we're living in a time right now where, thank God, none of us, at least in our church family, have fallen sick, but we are living in a very uncertain time. And we, in some ways, are suffering having to be under quarantine for some people who are unemployed. This, no doubt, is causing a certain distress, a certain suffering. But I want to encourage you that regardless of what we face, Christ is the door. His cross becomes a portal to paradise. Let us remember that we have turned from our darkness, from the hell of our own lives, from the bondage of sin, to be shepherded by him who is the shepherd and overseer of our souls, who is leading us into the abundant life. I wanted to close in just sharing with you that which I had the opportunity to share with Kevin May a couple of weeks ago, just prior to his mother's death, Mary Margaret May. And as we all know here at St. John the Baptist, Mary Margaret, who has visited here a number of times with her husband Frank, had suffered a couple of strokes, and it looked like that her time here in this life was drawing to a close. And there was one particular night that I'd gotten up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was returning to bed. And as I was getting in bed, this sudden and intrusive image came into my mind. And it was the vision of this very idyllic pastoral setting that reminded me of one of the fields that would be near like the Cliffs of Moher or the Dingle Peninsula of Ireland. There were sheep there grazing in the pasture. And it was the most serene and peaceful feeling that I had in seeing this vision, these sheep that were just grazing on these very pastoral hills. But as I began to have this vision, I was also prompted to begin praying and interceding for Mary Margaret. And as I was praying and interceding, it was as though another sheep was being added to the fold. And I didn't know whether Mary Margaret had passed. I didn't know whether she was still within this world. But I found out later from Kevin that she about that time had her third stroke, which eventually led to her death some days later. But I shared that with Kevin, and that was a comfort to Kevin because he said, Father James, he said, my mom loved sheep. That was, she had all kinds of pictures and little sheep statues or things around the house. And so if nothing else, in that time of testing, not only for Mary Margaret, but for the May family, who suffered the loss of a mom and a grandmother without the benefit of them even being able to be with her, I believe, if nothing else, it was the Good Shepherd reaching out in that moment of suffering to bring about a consolation. This is the good news of God in Christ, that in the midst of death, He is leading us into the pastures of the abundant life. If only we will be available. If only we will say yes. If only we will hear His voice and His call to take up our cross and to follow Him unto glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.